What's up, guys? Welcome back to another THP Strength podcast. Today, it is going to be just me and Austin. Reason being is our friend Isaiah has left us. He no longer wants to work with us anymore. It's been a tough day. Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
We're still at his house, though.
Yeah, we're at his house. No, he's going to a family member's house or something. I don't know. He's traveling in New Jersey. So we are tasked with holding down the fort.
The fort is
held. And we're gonna do the best we can. So today's topic is going to be, a huge shout out to our sponsors over at THP.
The premier jump training in the world, actually, jump coaching. It's amazing. It's great.
I need you to put your suit on. Ready, action.
THP, the premier jump coaching in the world. You want to heal things, feel better? Where's the script? Line.
There is no line. Anyways, yeah, this podcast is sponsored by THP, the premier jump coaching in the entire world. If you're looking to get healthier, jump higher, and be a better athlete, go to thpstrength.com. Use discount code THP at checkout.
That's my line.
It's okay. You farked it up too many times.
I was supposed to come in and be like, wait, we should get
But wait,
this
there's
now.
More. No, this'll do. All right, so today's topic is going to be jumping off of 1 foot. How do you jump higher off 1 foot? What is our experience with jumping off 1 foot? Is it better than 2 foot? We are the 2 1-foot experts over at THP. Austin has a 40. What is your vertical today?
It's 46. It's measured 46.
He has a 46-inch vertical measured off 1 foot, and mine is just under 40 or right at 40. On my best jumps, probably 41, 42.
Yeah, wait,
between 39 and 42. So obviously both of us have worked really hard at it, and I like to think that we jump pretty freaking high. So yeah, we'll get into it. What is your progression? Did you start as a 1 foot jumper, 2 foot jumper? What is your story with 1 foot jumping? How did you get better
as a kid?
All right, so this may be a little bit too much context, but I'm gonna give context. When I was in middle school, there was this girl named Michaela and she was freakishly athletic.
Really?
More athletic than all of the men.
How
yeah
old was she?
Like 12. But she was like, you know, 5'5". She was smacking backboard off 1 foot.
Really?
It was crazy. She jumped higher than all the guys, and I was like, she can do it. I can do it. So I started practicing 1 foot. I've been jumping off 1 foot since middle school. I kind of just stuck with it. You know.
When did you touch rim for the first time?
I was in eighth grade. I touched rim. I was about like 5'4 or something.
5'4?
Yeah.
You touched rim at 5'4?
Yeah. It was my best jumping day ever. It felt like I was gliding. And everyone was so hyped. I beat her. I beat Michaela. I finally beat her. And everyone was like, wow. You know,
when did you grab rim for the first time?
That was freshman year.
When did you dunk?
Sophomore year.
Okay, and what did you do to get to a point where you could grab rim?
I jumped a ton and did a bunch of gimmicky crap. Like, I would have basketball practices, and there was a field out back. And before basketball practice, I would literally just jump around for hours, which now I know isn't the most ideal, but yeah, I just jumped a ton.
Okay.
All right, so my progression with, and you just did 1 foot jumping a lot to get better at 1 foot jumping?
All the time.
Yeah, okay.
And 360s off two.
Those are the only two things you did?
Yep.
Did you low rim?
Yeah.
Off one?
Yeah, but I considered that jumping.
All right, okay.
Mainly, yeah.
So it's had really high specificity, jump every day program, something that a lot of people who are really successful have done many times. I, on the other hand, did a lot of high jumps. So I touched rim in seventh grade. I was 5'6", I think, 5'7", and maybe 5'8", might have been 5'8", I'll say 5'8", and then I dunked when I was 5'10", off the dribble in 8th grade, the end of 8th grade, or my beginning of my freshman year. It was like the first time I punched one in front of people. I'm talking like cock back off the dribble, like, yeah, it was nice. So to do that, I did a lot of jump programs. I never did air alert.
Really?
But no, I never did.
That's a classic. You should try it.
I did jump manual. I did vertical jump
blueprint?
Bible, blueprint, no, one of the two.
Vertical jump Bible.
Was that
blueprint
it?
Blueprint is Connor Barth's.
Oh, whoops. Vertical jump Bible.
Yeah.
And I did, let's see, what else did I do? I mostly did jump manual. And then after jump manual, I did Power Plyometrics by Jim Radcliffe. And that's when I saw a big boost. That's also when I was going through puberty. So my vertical went up a lot during that time. And I was high jumping. High jump actually was the thing that I would say was more consistently, the reason why I got better is I was just jumping a lot off 1 foot, and I wanted to be a high jumper. I started high jump just so I could dunk, and I thought it would help. And because I was like, oh, it's called high jump. Obviously, if you get better at high jump, probably help you dunk. And so I got to a point where I could touch rim, and then I got to a point where I was better at high jump than I was basketball. And so I just stuck with that and track, was running and jumping a lot. And then I ended up jumping 5'10" in eighth grade in high jump. And then freshman year, I jumped 6 foot. So I was like dunking around the time I was high jumping 6 foot. Outside of that, I didn't really start formally training for 1 foot until like really focusing on just high jump and with good training until I was 16. And at that point I was working with Mike and my vertical just kept going up and up and up. Didn't do my first windmill till 25. Mm. East Bay on 9.8.5 at 28, 29, something like that. And then I cuff windmilled. No, that was when I did the, when I was with Mark Bell last October. So I was 29, I think.
Okay.
And then I hit my first cuff windmill when I was 29. Yeah, 29. Mm-hmm. So I think I East Bayed at 28. I don't know. No, I was 29. Okay. Yeah. And then cuff windmill at 29. And here we are today. So the last time I really measured my vertical was in 2020, and that's when I hit 39.5 during COVID. So I haven't really measured it since then.
Maybe over 40.
I think so, too. Yeah, I think it's gone up quite a bit, but I just haven't measured officially. I've touched 11 foot on really bad days pretty easily. So I think 11.3.5 or something, 11.2.5 would put me at that, I think.
I think, yeah.
Something like that. Anyways, so yeah, that's my story and my progression with it. Obviously, we've done a lot of training. What do you think helped you the most with learning technique off 1 foot?
Low rimming for sure. Oh, sorry, I forgot. Yeah, definitely low rimming. Practicing in-game situations too. That was a big one for me.
Do you think basketball helped you? Like layups? Learning layups?
Yeah.
Did you play basketball growing up?
Mm-hmm. I didn't start playing basketball till I was in eighth grade.
So you could touch rim before you played basketball?
Yeah.
And is that why you played basketball?
Yeah.
Because you could touch rim?
Mm-hmm. I went to a really country, tiny school, so I was like a god. They called me Air Berkey. Yeah. What was the question?
How did you learn 1 foot technique?
Oh, yeah, just honestly low rimming, practicing all the time. I was obsessed with it. And I did do track and field as well. I was not that good. I just didn't really care about it.
Did anyone formally teach you the penultimate step?
No.
Never?
Never.
You just jumped as high as you could?
Yep.
All right.
Yeah.
That it?
Yeah.
That's all he was at. Okay, so to get better at 1 foot, technically speaking, I studied a lot of high jump. Mm-hmm. So high jump, obviously the sport where it is how high can you get off the ground off 1 foot, and there's a flipping component too, so that added a little bit of complexity. But the big things I focused on was a rolling contact through my penultimate step and then my takeoff. Rhythm was a big one, and then posture. So knowing I needed to keep my shoulders up and back, keep my hips high, things like that. It actually didn't transfer super well to dunking. I think the thing that helped me the most with dunking was playing basketball and then doing a lot of layups, but I was trying to jump like as high as I possibly could. Like I remember my seventh grade coach was like, do layups, try to get your fingertips to touch the rim, and then once you can get your wrist above the rim, then you can turn it over and dunk. And that is more or less how I did it. So I would try to do layups in pregame, and if I could get my wrist above the rim, then I would try to dunk. I even still to this day kind of do that on warm-ups. And then once I can do that, I know I'm good to push. And I've had knee pain since I've had teletendinopathy since I was 14, since eighth grade. So I've gotten through it. I'm now 30. I've progressed to the point that I have today. And I only dunked probably once every like 6 months whenever I was like a...
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, I never did low rim sessions. I never like... And actually dunking on 10 foot, like after my first one, I didn't get my second one until like 6 months later.
Oh, wow.
It was bad.
Yeah, I think my...
Go ahead.
So my first dunk was actually at my friend Keith's house on this outdoor hoop, which now I realize probably was like 9'8". So I probably didn't get my first legit 10-foot dunk until I was 16. But I would low rim there every day. Like, I just thought about that. I mentioned it in the podcast the other day with Isaiah as well. I just remembered. But, yeah, I didn't get my first dunk until I was, like, probably 16, junior year. That's when I started actually dunking. But I didn't do a two-hander until I was, like, 19. I couldn't two-hand for my life. But I could windmill when I was 17, which makes absolutely no sense. Not consistently. Like, you know, only if there was, like, a really attractive woman in the gym or a lot of hype, pretty much. You know,
like
the primal
Your primal instincts.
Yeah, I was like, I must windmill to procreate the human race. Procreate the...
To copulate. Yeah, for sure. Procreate. And then in terms of performance and getting better and more athletic, more explosive, etc., what were some of the things that you felt helped you the most over the last, I don't know, let's say five-ish years?
Definitely training with you.
Okay, yeah, but what specifically?
Definitely strength work, injury management. Those are probably the two more specific things. Training consistency. I would say that's the three.
I think for me, the thing that helped the most was definitely power clean. Getting my power clean up was very, very, very productive for me when it came to 1 foot jumping. I'm trying to think of what else. My squat never, it helped. It definitely helped, but it wasn't like initially. There was like a big lag between getting my squat up and then seeing my vertical go up off 1 foot. So once I like even following a periodized plan, my vertical didn't really go up until really, and even now to this day, even on a periodized plan, my vertical doesn't go up until after I unload really heavily. Like I'm talking, you take off like 2 months, 3 months, nah, probably not that much, but like
that's a long time.
4 weeks, probably 4 weeks of like unloading. I mean, in high school, I got hurt. I sprained my ankle and then I jumped really high. It's kind of the mechanism or like phenomena that Dan Back talks about a lot, mm-hmm. where you actually have type 2 fibers become more prevalent. And I think it's like type 2A turns to type 2B or type 2X because you're doing nothing and you'll see this fiber switch as a result. But I don't even know if it was necessarily that as much as it just like I wasn't tired, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like I wasn't fatigued. The sensitivity, my body's sensitivity to the weight room or all the sprint volume I did or plyos was like, I was resilient, but I think I was really fatigued for a long time because I had trained 6 months, 20 hours a week, every week for 6 months. I was just in a hole and then backing off fully, completely. That's whenever I started to really, really jump high. And then after that, whenever I was like with you guys and obviously coaching Isaiah, I started dunking more regularly. So my vertical was sustained at a higher level, but what really took me to that next level with 1 foot was, again, getting in a lot of training volume, really intense training volume for a period of time, and then backing off. Right. I think whenever I would just stay underneath high training load, I was not able to get off the ground off 1 foot. I felt slow. I felt weak. My knees usually were bothering me from all the squats and power cleans and stuff. So I just never really wanted to push as intensely as I could. Even now I have to be careful with that. Is that your experience?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I kind of just accept if the training volume's high, I'm pretty much going to jump terribly off one, but I know to be patient and, you know, not bog myself down. But I wouldn't even attribute a specific lift to me personally. Like I didn't notice once I started doing this one specific lift, my 1 foot went up. It was just overall functional strength and getting stronger and increasing the training load.
When were you jumping your highest?
2022, after like 2 years of crazy hard training.
Was that?
That was when I was maintaining. 20? That was right after Cali. The 1 foot, my 1 foot era when I tested 46.
How long were you, I'll ask.
Okay, so how long were you training hard and jumping poorly before you saw a big increase?
It was probably about 2 years. I'd have random good sessions here and there. And the consistent session started once I started offloading a bit and just maintaining. But then once again, my vertical wasn't shooting up. I mean, I was jumping well every week, which is nice, but it doesn't last forever.
So when did you see the big jump in performance?
Probably about a month to 2 months after cutting down the weight room volume and losing weight too.
So you're losing weight,
mm-hmm.
cutting weight room volume down.
Yeah.
Vertical went up.
How much did your vertical go up from the weight loss and cutting your volume down in the weight room? And how often were you dunking?
I was dunking every Saturday. Probably 5-6 inches, I would say, it went up. Off
that's
one.
Like mine, yeah.
Yeah, like it went up a ton. Like I was getting head nerve ram on 910 pretty much every session, East Bays every session. It was pretty wild, and my 2 foot was okay, but it definitely went down without all the strength work. 2 foot is more consistent with strength work for sure.
I think so too. That's my experience.
Yeah.
All right.
So, 1 foot went up, 5 to 6 inches after unloading. That was the same experience I had. I specifically remember, and you guys, if you've been following my stuff for a while, you probably have seen this. I went from touching, I think it was like 1 week I touched 10.6, and then a month later I was getting my head at the rim. So you don't get your head at the rim touching 10.6, not even close, definitely. Especially with long arms. So yeah, unless you have T-Rex arms. So I was way, way, way better after doing that. My numbers were not crazy high, but I was just consistently training. Like, that was after I had trained all the way through and into dunk camp of 2021, and then coming out of, was it 2021 or 2022?
I think 2022.
2022. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So I trained all the way through that into dunk camp. I, like, got banged up a little bit. Not crazy. Came out pretty healthy. Usually dunk camp, I get hurt because I push the jump volume way too high. I'm going to try not to do that this year so I can come out of it healthy. I was talking to Ethan Owens, and he mentioned that, and I was like, it's a good point. Mm-hmm. And he did not get carried away this year. So I came out, felt good, trained really hard for another 2 months. I think it was October I started offloading, or September. So it was 2 months of training. My numbers, again, were not crazy. I think I was squatting 245 for 8 with a barbell. My reverse lunge was decent. My power clean started to go up finally. I was adding sprints in loosely, having a lot of hamstring issues, and dunking once a week on low rims. And then I really backed off and just did load management. So I was like jumping twice a week, quarter squatting for health. Really was not pushing super hard. And that is when my vertical went up a lot. But this was after, again, a lot of loading prior to that. Yeah. Like prior to dunk camp, I was at the track 5-6 days a week doing tempo and sprinting. I was training super hard. So put in all the work and then backed off, and that's when my vertical went up too. So it seems like and I've seen this happen with high jumpers oftentimes, like they'll train really, really hard into the season, they'll get hurt or something like that, take off two months unintentionally, and then end up PRing seemingly out of nowhere. But it's really because they're just recovered from all the training. That's what happened with Jonathan Edwards, actually, the world record holder in the triple jump. So it seems like there's something to it, but like Austin said, with 2 foot, I see my 2 foot go down when I stop lifting. If I stop lifting and doing power work, my 2 foot drops really, really quickly. And if I don't practice it, it goes down a lot.
Not practicing is honestly worse. Not practicing 2 foot is honestly worse than not lifting.
Yeah.
Because in 2022, I wasn't lifting, but I was doing 2 foot to warm up, and it was still pretty high. But yeah, I have to practice like pretty 50-50 if I want to be elite off both and consistent off both.
So how long do you think you're going to have to train before you see that big boost in your vertical come back? Like now what? You're at month two?
What? Month two?
How long of like loading, heavy loading?
Oh, probably another month or so. My vertical is pretty close to what it was. I just can't access it as consistently.
I actually very much agree with that. It's less consistent, but you can do it. Yeah. It's like I have the outlier days that are there, but it just doesn't happen as frequently. Mm-hmm. Most of it related to your knee and your takeoff. Like when you were in Spain, you took off a lot of time from jumping, right?
Yeah. There was nowhere to jump really. I found an outdoor court probably the last couple weeks that I was in Spain. I was there for 2.5 months. The weight room was fine, but it was still bad. It was still a 30-minute walk away.
How much do you think that negatively impacted your performance as an athlete and your readiness?
So my vert actually started going up again right before Spain, if you remember.
I do vaguely remember.
I think it helped, but at least I was consistent in the weight room for the most part. And
no, but I'm saying going to Spain, do you think, how detrimental was it like being in Spain for 2.5 months?
It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. Not going to lie.
What were like, just because you didn't jump enough, because the weight room was shoddy, like all of it kind of?
Every factor, all the walking too. I was walking probably like 20,000, 30,000 steps a day.
When you got back, what do you think your vertical was off one compared to now?
Probably like 40. Like,
were you struggling to dunk on 9.9?
Was I?
I don't know. I'm asking.
I don't think so. I think I could still dunk on 9.9. I think I could barely windmill. It was 9.9 1/4.
I remember when you like first windmill, but your knees were messed up too, weren't they?
My knees were awful. My knees were so bad because I hadn't jumped at all really. So the volume was just crazy.
Like when you went back to jumping, you immediately had issues basically.
Instantly.
Yeah.
And I was also like, I was eating so much good food, so I gained weight. I was like 170 something, I think, when I came back. And good jumping weight for me is around 158 to 160. That's what I'm.
What are you right now?
162.
162. Okay, so seems like that trend for me as well. When I'm 178, that's when I jump my best, when I'm a little bit lighter. I mean, I was 173 in Los Altos, which was light for me, really light. I was not jumping that well during that time at all. I'm talking like before I started hitting the weight room and stuff in late 2022. Or I guess early 2022. I don't know how that works. Mid-2022 to late 2022. But early like 2021 when we got there, because I was there for 16 months, I definitely felt like getting into all of the weight room and stuff and my lifestyle changing. And I, at the time, I was having like a lot of anxiety and shit that I was working through too. My vertical was not good and I was losing weight, not because I was training, but because I was stressed. And then when I started getting in a better headspace and pushing the volume up and my training intensity and workload, and wasn't focusing as much on my clients and my business and started focusing on my health, my weight got up to 175, 178, maybe even 180, might have touched 180. And then I started jumping really, really, really high after, like we said, I unloaded. So that's definitely been consistent for me too. I think if you're a 1 foot jumper, you got to be light. I think as a 2 foot jumper, you can get away with it. Like my weight's been going up since doing 2 foot. Yesterday I weighed in at, but like healthy, I think I'm 183 to 185 right now, which is about where I think I want to be to see my 2 foot vertical go up. I think tomorrow there's a high likelihood I'll jump really well. My squat right now, I mean, I hand supported back squat, what, for 285 or 275?
Yeah, I think so, it was 285.
There's two reds on each side and the safety bar.
I thought it would, yeah, it's 285.
That's 285? Yeah. Okay, so 285 for five, and that was like pretty easy. And then I power cleaned a double from the safeties, which I really struggle with, and it's kind of scary. At 205, my all-time max for a double, I think, is 235 or 240. I don't remember. So I think it's 230, maybe 235. But, yeah, I'm definitely 230, I think. So my numbers are going back up. My power's coming back. When I was doing a lot of one-foot jumping, I just could not be fresh enough to jump high off 1 foot while seeing, like, while I was pushing to get my numbers higher, I was always fatigued and couldn't jump high off 1 foot. And then when I backed off, did all the plyos, I was like, I want to pivot and do 2 foot. And Isaiah was like, just stick with it. Like, you're kind of better. And I was like, all right, we're going to see.
I think you have more dunking potential. I think you have more jump potential off one, just because you've been doing it longer, but I do think you have more dunk potential off too after seeing you low room.
Do you think that my 2 foot vertical will ever touch my 1 foot vertical?
I think so. As long as you stay consistent. It does go up a lot faster.
How long do you think it's going to take? 3 years?
Not even. I think
I hope 3 years I jump higher than Nathan George.
I think a year. I think in a year you'll be pushing 40 off too.
Really? That'd be hype. I think so. Yeah, that's actually, I could see that. I could see that.
That's what I think.
That would be sick. That would be sick.
There's another thing, too. I wanted to ask you, because maybe they would want to know, how do you plan on adjusting our training closer to dunk camp to get more specific for 1 foot?
So if, let's say for you, because it's not going to be for me. Okay. One thing is we'll do more unilateral work as we get closer. We'll do faster eccentric work as we get closer. That's probably going to be like, I think this year it's in July or June. When is it?
End of June.
End of June?
And then August for Wisconsin.
Okay, so end of June, so we have, what, 10 weeks? Mm-hmm. Something like that? Okay, so this next cycle is going to be very specific for 1 foot. We're going to be doing a lot of eccentric work very, very fast in the weight room. We'll be doing split positions if possible. That'll be a big difference. It's basically the same emphasis that you have for 2 foot, but you're going to have more 1 foot lifts, which is going to be interesting here. We're going to have to use the safety bar and kind of get creative with the bench and stuff like that. Isaiah might have to do that because of his back, but for him, I would want him to do bilateral work. So I'd want him to do heavy squats where there's negatives and things like that, and then faster negatives towards the end, like maybe 6 to 4 weeks out. And then for 1 foot jumpers, I unload them a lot sooner. That's the biggest difference.
It was what, nine weeks, you said, normally?
For me, I like between 4 and 8 weeks. Okay. So, you know, for you, you might have 6 more weeks of loading before unloading.
I remember 4 weeks last year didn't work for me, but I also wasn't as light and I also wasn't in as good a shape as I am now.
You felt 4 weeks was too long?
Too short.
Too short?
Yeah.
So you think you need 8 weeks? Or
I'm thinking I need 6 to 8. I think I need 6 to 8.
Let's try 6. We'll try 6 weeks of unloading, right, where you're going to jump once a week and just stay healthy. We have one. So that means you really just have 2 more weeks of loading. If they're 10 weeks out, you have 1 more cycle. Yeah. So we'll do the fast eccentric work, and then the plyos will come in the form of jumping. And you just, the biggest thing is just stay healthy. It's massively, massively important.
I'm able to stay healthy with 1 session a week as long as I'm doing my isos and I'm not going too crazy in the weight room. I typically get hurt when I'm jumping a ton and lifting a ton. So.
Yeah. And you have random knee pains that pop up out of nowhere. How is your knee, by the way?
My knee's okay. Randomly, I developed PFP last week.
On his non-jump leg?
On my non-jump leg, and it hurts pretty bad. But my left knee feels fine, so I'm probably going to load room with John tomorrow and jump off my left if everything feels okay. But we do think the split squat isos were a little too much for this leg here.
Yeah, so he is the back leg, right? Mm-hmm. So he's pushing pretty hard with the back leg, which is okay, but Austin has poor hip mobility, which can add to the loading on that leg, right? Like if you're pushing maximally isometrically and your foot's rotated, or you're pushing too much through the back of the foot and your rec fem is lengthened, you're going to pull the patella upwards, the bone upwards, which I think is what happened. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just too much load, which we didn't know until after the jump session, right?
Yeah. It started killing me.
So anyways, yeah, that is our advice on one-foot jumping. If I were to sum it up for you, it would be load really intensely for 3 to 6 months and then back off pretty intensely. And I think it needs about 4 to 8 weeks of unloading. As far as plyos, I think that should come in the form of jumping. You agree with that?
100%.
Yeah. Every time I've done plyos for 1 foot, it does not work.
Didn't work for me either.
Yeah. So I just think it gets you hurt and takes away from the thing that you need to do more of, which is dunking, which is really important.
I did jump a little bit higher at first with plyos, but that was just because I was unloading from the weight room. I don't think it was correlated to plyometrics at all.
Yeah, I wonder about this sometimes. And outside of that, I don't think there's anything else.
Lower your stress levels, eat healthy, and sleep well.
Lose weight. Okay, go ahead. You can do the outro.
What is the outro?
Go to thpstrength.com.
Go to thpstrength.com. Use code THP for 10% off your first month if you're weary. I've been doing this for a long time. It's not as hard as it used to be.
It is not as hard as it used to be. All right. See you guys. Bye.